This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
If you need someone to talk to, call Lifeline now on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always call 000.
You're listening to Right Here, Right Now on Joy 94.9. This evening, we are speaking on the topic of suicide. For this particular interview, we are bringing in a person by the name of Sarah Coker. She represents Sane Australia, whose mission is to help all Australians affected by mental illness and lead a better life. Sarah Coker from Sane Australia is also a contributor of academic papers, specifically Lessons for Life, The Experiences of People Who Attempt Suicide, joins us on the line. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Now, tell me a little bit about the service that Sane offer.
Sure. Well, Sane's very much about education and advocacy around mental health, also providing information. So we have a helpline where people can call up to get information about themselves or someone they're concerned about regarding any type of mental illness. We also have an online forums, which we've recently launched, which has been really popular for people to connect online and share stories and support with each other.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. So it's not just a advice service. It's also a place for people to connect and share stories.
Yeah. It's completely peer-to-peer support. So it's a moderated service, but the moderators are there just to kind of check on that there aren't any kind of breaches in what people write, but really it's up to the contributors in terms of how they support each other. It's been a really successful program, so that's been great. And we also are involved in research in a number of areas around mental health, and of course are trying to strongly advocate for improved services at government level, and also we do quite a lot of training with professionals and the general public on this issue.
Oh, brilliant. Now, as I mentioned before, you have written a paper called Lessons About Life. Can you tell our listeners what the essence is of this paper?
Yeah, sure. I was privileged to interview 31 people who had attempted suicide, and the aim of that was to talk to them about what helped or didn't help you around this time? What was the experience like? We weren't focusing so much on what did you do, but more kind of what led up to leading you to want to take your life, and then what happened subsequently in terms of getting help, whether they talked to people, and if they didn't, why not, and those types of questions.
Okay, some really confronting stuff there with people that you spoke to actually reliving, you know, those tragic circumstances.
Yeah, Sarah, what I found really interesting was that how many people do attempt suicide. Like, for every one person who's successful, there's another 20 more that attempt. And I was reading that in the report and I was just surprised at the statistic. But, why so many?
Well, that's a really big question, I guess. You know, the suicide attempts are a huge problem, I guess. And we do focus a lot on completed suicide, and of course that's ultimately a very tragic event, but you're right, there are thousands of people in Australia who attempt suicide every year, and they and their families and friends are dealing with that trauma, I guess. Clearly some people will end up needing quite a lot of medical care and assistance and psychological help after that. So, I mean, in terms of why, I can't really answer that question simply because suicide is such a complex problem. We know that often it's a combination of overwhelming life event, often poor mental health, and then a really strong sense of hopelessness and despair that people often feel. So, but what gets people there is going to be different for everybody.
Brilliant, brilliant. So with your paper, what were some of the findings out of it?
Sure. I mean, what we found was that sometimes people have quite, they can have quite a lot of difficulties in getting the support that they need, either before an attempt or leading up to that attempt or afterwards, and that was one of the kind of biggest hindrances to them recovering. So, and it could be for many reasons, but the pathway to actually finding good professional help was quite difficult. On the plus side, though, all the people I spoke to had managed to find good professional help, and that was probably the thing that helped them the most. It led them to the most recovery. So it just goes to show that having good professional help is both vital because it gets you there, and it's really important that we look into ways to make it easier for people to get that help.
Hey Sarah, Michael here. Quick question. You deal with suicide, which is a very delicate topic for a lot of people. What keeps you motivated and keeps you going on a day-to-day basis?
Look, I think it stems from the fact that in my job I've worked on the helpline at SANE, and I've spoken firsthand to people who have been in really difficult situations and situations that you just hope you were never in, or no one that you love and care about was in. And I think it just inspires me to try and improve things in the sector, and to as SANE's mission is to try and improve people's lives who are in those situations. And you know, I'm lucky that where I work is very supportive, and we're obviously careful about our own mental health. So yeah, sure, working in this kind of area is confronting, but you know, we take care of ourselves too.
Yeah, definitely. And what's the biggest thing that you've learned since doing this program?
Look, I think the research really showed me that those very intimate accounts of how people were feeling at the time, that you know, psychological pain is just so painful. I don't think we can really understand how painful psychological pain is unless we've been there.
Yep.
We can kind of imagine what it might be like to break your leg, but I don't know if people can really understand how hard it is to deal with psychological pain. And that's what people are often trying to get away from when they are feeling suicidal.
Sarah, you know, it even says in the report that 67% of the respondents didn't actually communicate their thoughts before their attempt at suicide. So that makes it very hard for, you know, other people to pick up on what's going through their cases or their minds at the time.
Yeah, sure. It is. It's a real difficulty, I guess. And I think that's also for quite a number of reasons. In some cases, people are in such despair that they don't feel that they can be helped, and so they kind of feel like, well, it's not really worth me talking about this because no one's going to be able to help me.
Mm.
Or they might feel ashamed or concerned about the reaction they're going to get if they start talking about suicide. So that's, I guess, leading towards that sense of stigma that I can't talk about this. It does make it hard for other people. I mean, often people will give subtle signs, and in some cases, not so subtle signs. Often people will say, you know, I just feel like life's not worth living. And I think as a community, we need to be alert to those types of messages. If you kind of know someone's feeling down and they start to say things like that, that should start ringing alarm bells, really, and that then it's worth questioning the person quite specifically. You know, what do you mean? Are you actually thinking of ending your life? Because talking about suicide is not going to give the idea to them. It's much better to have a conversation and talk to them about it.
Great. Now, of course, Sarah, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose. And looking at your paper, you've mentioned a couple of opportunities that we can kind of grab by the horns and roll with. Would you be able to share a couple of those opportunities with us?
Yeah, sure. We looked at 10 different opportunities, which kind of fall under four categories. So the first one of those is around reducing stigma around suicide and mental illness, and that comes back to my previous points about just trying to encourage people to talk more openly. We've already done something in that area, actually, which is exciting. We've created a film with five of the people who were in the study talking about their experience of suicide and what led to their recovery, and that's going to be launched at the Suicide Prevention Australia conference at the end of this month. So that'll be available publicly on YouTube, and SANE will be heavily promoting that, trying to get that out to as many people as possible, just to really break down some of those perhaps misleading thoughts that people have about suicide.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's an exciting thing that we've that's led on from this study.
And you also mentioned that professional services need to be improved, access to those sorts of services, whether they be hospitals or professionals or whatever. It's a sort of a tough area, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, there's lots of there are some systemic issues there. I think what needs to be done is for more research to look at what the barriers are for people not getting support that they need. So we really need to unpack that. What is preventing people from getting the right professional support? And then we also need to encourage best practice for health professionals so that when somebody does present to them, they're getting the best possible care.
Brilliant. Now, when I guess when we're talking about getting the best care, I guess that leads on to my next question. What are the best resources for a person who has a friend or family member or for themselves who's attempted suicide?
Sure. I mean, there's a number of things. So for people who've attempted suicide, it's probably a good idea to be, looking at services that can support them, their own mental health. And there's a number of ways they can do that. Getting onto the SANE website is a good start. Also, looking at, there's an organisation called Support After Suicide, which is another great organisation where people can get resources. Even, look, I think a visit to a GP, to a good GP who can, who they feel comfortable to talk to and just make sure they're getting the right psychological support, I think is also really important. And Beyond Blue have put out a book for people who've attempted suicide called Finding Your Way Back, and that's also a great resource.
Brilliant. Sounds like, if you look in the right place, there's some great resources out there for that people can actually look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, doing some searches online is probably a good way to start.
Great. Now, I'm sorry to say that that's all we have time for this evening, Sarah, but thank you so much for speaking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Right Here, Right Now on Joy 94.9. If you need someone to talk to, call Lifeline now on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always call 000.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.